So in Luke chapter 4, Jesus has been baptized, right? He's 30 years old. Remember, in that culture, you had to be 30 years old to really be considered old enough to teach. And so at 30, Jesus is old enough to serve in the temple and old enough to teach. Though we caught him at 12 years old in the temple talking to the doctors and the lawyers and teaching them a thing or two, didn't we? And so now he's been baptized. The Spirit of God descended upon him. The Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And Jesus begins his ministry. But the first thing he did is after his baptism, he went into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days. 40 days of fasting and praying, just spending time with the Father before he really dove into the ministry. And then, of course, he comes back to John and we see that he begins picking up a few followers. And then he goes back to Galilee. Well, Galilee is the northern region of Israel. And that's, so if you look at the Sea of Galilee, all that region around there. And Jesus returned to Galilee. And the Bible tells us in verse number 14 of chapter 4 of Luke, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So how many of you think that if you were going to start being a minister, that you would like to start off like verse number 14 and 15? Yeah, he went back to his home, you know, region, not to his hometown, but to that region. And he goes there and he speaks in the synagogues and people are just blown away by his wisdom and his authority, his command of the scripture, his knowledge of the Father. And they're just, they absorb it. They're caught up in it. They talk to people about it. And so the word of God spreads. The message that Christ has here spreads. And so they're all excited. Man, that's great. Hey, that worked out pretty good. I'll go home and see how it works there. Amen. Y'all got some things to confess? I've always said, lightning, you don't have to be scared of the thunder. It's when you don't hear it and it got you. That's the problem. So Jesus goes now to Nazareth. That comes to verse number 16. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Right? These are the people he knows. These are his friends. These are his family, his cousins, if you will. The people that are mixed around. This is his people. They know him. His brothers, his sister, right? His mom. All of his family is there. He had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and now he's old enough. What does he do? He stands up to read. They give him the scroll. Verse number 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." That's a statement. He is anointed with the Spirit of God. We, as God's children, when we pray and ask God's forgiveness, he washes our sins away. He writes our name in the book of life. But more than that, he sends the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to dwell inside of us so that he can teach us from within. We don't need a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son," because we have the voice of the Holy Ghost within saying, "You are my beloved." So he speaks from within to those who are born again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Secondly, he says, he hath anointed me to preach. And all of us, look, he went to the synagogues in Galilee and they began to tell her, "Hey, there was this man at synagogue today and his name's Jesus. And man, when he read the Bible, it was like it was real. It was like it came alive. And when he prayed to the Father, well, we just said, teach us how to pray." You know, later on, we'd be able to tell lots of different stories about his life. But they were just so impressed initially by this man. Well, we have that same ability. What can I do? How can I preach? I can go to work tomorrow and say, "Hey, man, did you go to church yesterday?" And I can listen to them talk about their church. And I say, "Boy, you should have been at our church yesterday. Well, we had church and read the Word of God and it was like it came alive. You could open the Bible and say, this is what we read." And you can share. That's preaching. Sharing. He has anointed me to preach. Next, he said, to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, let me say this. I believe that everything in here has applied, and all of these different things we'll list has applied to all of us at some point. The gospel to the poor. You want to know who's poor? Anybody who doesn't have Jesus. But more than that, there are those who are overlooked. There are those who have become invisible in our society. You know why they don't get the gospel? Because nobody's invited them to know the gospel. Because nobody thought enough of them to share the gospel. Let me ask you a question. Do you care enough about your family that you want them to go to heaven? Do you care enough about your friends that you want them to go to heaven? Do you care enough about your coworkers that you want them to go to heaven? Okay, maybe not all of them, but do you want them to go to hell? Right? We want them to know Jesus. We want them to be saved. If those people you don't like and that don't like you get saved, it might change their ways. It might change your relationship. Share the gospel with the poor, those who are invisible, those who are overlooked, those who don't feel like they fit in, who don't feel like they're good enough to go to church. You know, there are a lot of people today who don't feel like they're too good to go to church. They feel like they're not good enough to go to church. We need to encourage them and invite them and be a blessing to them. Then he says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I did a funeral yesterday for a 50-year-old woman. Her young children there. And more of that. Young people dying. Suddenly. Unexpectedly. We see it all the time. And I want to know, how do you help somebody that's brokenhearted? You want to know how? We love them. You hug them. You listen to them. You just be there. How many of you know what to say to somebody who's brokenhearted? Me neither. You know what you do? You just go and be there. And you just tell them you love them. I don't know. I can't fix it. But I can show them that I love them. I can show them the way to Jesus if they don't have Jesus. I can show them who holds tomorrow. Guys, somebody's facing certain death, which, by the way, we all are. You know what I want you to know? I want you to know that there is a heaven for all those who believe. That God will receive us into His mansions, as the Bible says. That He will receive us into His city. And that He'll say to us, those who have been faithful, "Well done, my good and faithful." But to those who do not believe, He will say, "Depart from me." I don't want anybody in this room to hear that. Heal the brokenhearted. Give them Jesus. Teach them heaven. Also to preach deliverance to the captives. I said earlier, you know, at some point we've probably all been in these categories. He said, those who are overlooked, those who are poor, those who are invisible. And no doubt in our lives at some point we felt that way. Brokenhearted. How many of you have ever been brokenhearted? Yes. No doubt. Maybe still are. How many of us have ever been, he says, preach deliverance to the captives. How many of you have ever felt stuck? Can't get out of my situation. I don't know any way to get out of my situation. I don't know any way to get out of my addiction. I just keep going through this cycle and going through this cycle. And so I need a way to be liberated. Jesus. Jesus, deliverance to the captives. In other words, there's a way out if we're stuck in sin. Egypt represents sin, the chains of sin. And what happened? They moaned and they cried out to God, and God sent them a deliverer in Moses. And Moses said, "Follow me." And they complained the whole time. You know why? Because even getting out of where we're stuck isn't easy. It can be hard. But you feel like you're in a stuck situation, or you have felt that way before. Well, let's show people, let's preach to them, there is a way to have freedom in Christ. Deliverance to the captives. And then recovering of sight to the blind. I think it's interesting, he said recovering of sight. You ever think about that? It means they had a vision and they lost it. You know what we call that? We call that revival. God's people need revival. We need to have vision. We need to have hope. We need to have some expectation of what we can do and what we must do and what God wants us to do. But so many of us have lost our vision of greatness and God's greatness in our lives. And so we just go through the motions. Going through the motions. Going through the motions. No, God's got a vision, a ministry, a mission. He's got something for us to do. And we need to let it come alive in us and catch our attention and arrest our enthusiasm and give us something to do. He said, recovering of sight to the blind, recovering the vision, showing them the way. And then finally he says, and set at liberty them that are bruised. Well, I could tell you that there's been times in my life I felt overlooked or invisible, poor, brokenhearted, stuck, lost my vision, and been bruised, abused, beat up. Yeah, at some point we've probably all fit into the ministry that Jesus was sent to do. At some point we found ourselves in need of a Savior. If you're in that situation this morning and you realize that you need the Savior, let me tell you, He's just a prayer away. From your heart to God's heart, you can say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I put my faith in you and ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. Would you pray? Because, see, there are different points in our lives where God reaches out to us and says, let me save you. And sometimes we don't let Him save us. And He comes again and He says, let me save you. And we say, well, I'm waiting for somebody else. I've got a better idea of another way that I can get out of my situation and I can get better and I can do better. And I'm going to wait. And He comes back and He says, let me save you. But guys, there comes a point you can no longer be saved. Don't say no to God this morning. If He's reached out to your heart this morning and said, I am here to reach you. I've been anointed to reach you. You fit in one of these categories. You're going through some of this stuff. And now is the time for you to surrender and be born again. Listen to Him. Accept Him today. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says now is the time of salvation. Now. Not later. Not next Sunday. Not after church. Right now. You say, well, I'm going to wait till the invitation and walk down the aisle. Right now, from your heart to God's heart, call out and say, God, I need you. Put your faith in Him now. The way Jesus read that, by the way, you see, He's reading Scripture out of Isaiah. And the way He read it gripped their hearts, arrested their attention. It says He closed the book and He gave it to the minister and He sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. They were in awe. And He began to say to them, this day is the Scripture. This Scripture fulfilled in your ears. What did He say? He said, this Scripture, it was written about Me. Verse 22, all that bear Him witness wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Like, Joseph's nobody. How did this guy get such education? How did this guy learn to speak so eloquently, so enthusiastically? How could he grip our attention as he just read this? He didn't preach. He read. How can he make such an impact just reading? And he said to them, verse 23, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Yeah, you see, the message had spread from Galilee, Capernaum. Had spread. And they said, give us what you gave them. But you know what the Bible says? Look at how he says it in verse 24. I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. In his own country, around the people that knew him when he was a kid, when he was a boy, when he was a teenager, when he was a young man, they didn't respect him. They said, well, he can't be nobody. Right? He's from Nazareth. He's just one of us. We're nothing special. What makes him think he's special? That was their attitude. The Bible says he could there do no great work because they lacked faith. Let me ask you a question. What kind of faith do we have? What kind of faith do you have that God can do the great work that you need in your life? What kind of faith do we have that God can do great things through us? That those people that we want to reach for with the gospel, we can do it, but we've got to trust Christ to show us the way. That He can save you, even as much of a sinner as you are, He can save you. Even with the past that you've got, He can forgive you. Even with the history that you've got, He can use you to make a difference. And He told him a story. He said, you know, Elijah had a great ministry, but who did he go to? He went to one widow in Sarepta. He said, you see, not everybody gets what everybody else gets. The desire that we have to make a difference is a spiritual desire. It is a desire of obedience. God, we want everybody to be saved. We want them to know Jesus. We want them to walk in your path and know the joy of living the Christian life. That's what we want. He marveled at their unbelief, the Bible says. He wondered at their unbelief. His hometown rejected him. So you know what he did? He started collecting some other people that nobody wanted. And he called them the 12 apostles. Guys, sometimes we feel like we're invisible and overlooked and like we can't do anything. But I'm telling you, God can do great things through you. So get over your disappointment. Get over your fear. Get over your grudges. And let God do great things through you. Because He can. You've got to give up your doubts and your fears and say, God, show me what to do. And then do it. Let's stand. Father, we love you and we're thankful to be in your presence today. And we're thankful for the rain. Our biggest prayer is that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that right now they would put their faith in you. That if there's anyone here that's discouraged, that's looking for an answer, that right now they will put themselves at your will, that they will surrender and put themselves in your hands, at your feet, and say, God, have your way in my life. God, crush our selfish lusts. Crush those things which are destroying us. Crush those things that have defeated us. Bring us up in faith. Raise our hopes. Show us your power. Show us your presence. That we could be your hands and your feet and your voice to a lost and dying world. And let it start here in me. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your opportunity to come. What's on your heart this morning? You can talk to God where you are. Would you call out to God and say, God, save me? This is your opportunity. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. Wow. How can God use you? What will God do through you? Thank you. anyone else this morning. Amen. All right. Well, I tell you what, we put a cover over the back door, so if you need to pick up that way, you can. All right. This way, you're going to have to get out in the rain. Thank you, Sister Pianist. Appreciate you. Isn't she lovely? Anyway, anything else? Anyone else got anything they want to share this morning? Thank you, Sister Maggie, for sharing your burden. All right. Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. Be back tonight at 6, Wednesday night at 7. Don't forget, fifth Sunday dinner next week. Come prepared to stay for lunch. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?